at 5 o'clock at night in the New York Daily News, you couldn't see from one end of the city room to the other because of the smoke. A tremendous scene, looked like an old fight club. And the noise of the typewriters was loud, like subway train running through. And out of all this noise, smoke, came nervous energy. Words in a newspaper are made of nervous energy, and they had that.
Pugilistic Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Jimmy Breslin, who died Sunday at the age of 88, speaking in 2004 to reporter John Kalish. For 40 years, Breslin's words punched off New York papers like a prizefighter's left hook, fighting for the little guy and against those who abused positions of power. John produced a radio documentary about Jimmy Breslin. We'll post it at herenow.org. John was also one of legions of journalists who learned something from Breslin. He joins us now. And John, Jimmy Breslin wrote about the guy who dug JFK's grave, the gangsters from his native Queens, like the 400-pound bookie Fat Thomas. Start there. How did his hometown, Queens, inform his writing?
Well, he used to write about Queens Boulevard a lot and this joint called the Pastrami King, I think it was called. He, I think, tried to epitomize the little guy who wasn't living in glamorous, slick Manhattan, who lived in an attached row house in one of the outer boroughs. And he was very proud of those roots, even though at one point he was living on Central Park West in Manhattan.
Well, full disclosure, I had the chance to have a small friendship with him and his wife. Jimmy Breslin and I both lost our pants covering a violent story. Me, because I got scared and ruined mine. He, because some guys took his off, and that started a conversation between us. But you met him in the early 80s. Give us a sense of his influence on journalism.
Well, the thing about Breslin is that he obviously was a great writer, but he also was a great reporter. And the year that he won the Pulitzer Prize for commentary, I mean, he had scoop after scoop in the Daily News. He basically blew open this municipal corruption scandal in Queens that resulted in the Queens borough president committing suicide. He was just an amazing reporter. Breslin knew everybody, and, you know, his phone never stopped ringing.
Yeah. After he won that Pulitzer in 1986, he told you this the next day at a party.
I still pursue the art of climbing flights of stairs. Go to the scene. Go ring the doorbell and ask the guy. Nobody does that. It's an art that's going to come back, however.
What makes you think that?
Because of me.
That's the exchange that gave you the title for your documentary, The Art of Climbing Tenement Stairs. But John Kalish, Jimmy Breslin could also be brash, insulting. There is that story. In 1990, he came into the newsroom hurling racial and sexual slurs about a young Korean-American colleague. She had registered a complaint about a column in which he seemed to be saying that his wife shouldn't work. And everyone who knew Jimmy Breslin knew that he adored his wife, the politician Ronnie Eldridge. He later apologized for that outburst. But, you know, talk about that side of him.
I was actually around New York Newsday back then when that incident happened. And the thing that really was horrible was that he called this Korean-American reporter a yellow cur, which sent a lot of people to the dictionary. First of all, he may be a giant force in journalism, but he had, at some level, very thin skin and couldn't handle the criticism, so he exploded. Also, the notion that Jimmy Breslin was a racist is kind of absurd because he dedicated his reporting and writing life to writing about people of color. I mean, I remember when he wrote a lot of hard-hitting columns about this African-American woman in the Bronx named Eleanor Bumpers, who was killed by police. And so he was not a racist, but he had thin skin and, you know, warts and all. You got to love the man.
John, towards the end, you know, I mean, did he talk about his legacy? Did he talk about, you know, all the scrappy columnists that he begat?
He did. And, you know, there were actually quite a few great Irish-American newspaper columnists who clearly emulated Breslin. One of them is still writing today for the New York Times. That would be Jim Dwyer. He also made a point of making fun of the you know, new generation of journalists who didn't go to a bar and, you know, discuss language at the end of a hard day, that, you know, they went home and drank wine or, you know, worse, went to a health club and exercised. So that was Jimmy Breslin.
Well, actually, let's leave with the thoughts of Pete Hamill, the great newspaper man as well, and close friend of Jimmy Breslin's.
When I hear people knock him, I always remind them, if he hadn't been here, what would this city be like? What would the newspaper business be like? Because he came along and not simply put a column into a newspaper, but added voices to the chorus of the city. And I think that, above all, is a triumph.
John Kalis, thank you so much.
A pleasure, Robin.